How many believe that God is good every day? Especially on days when we get an extra hour of sleep. Come on. Amen. Tell your neighbor, God is for you and God is with you, please. Amen. You may be seated today. Great to have you today. I want to welcome you watching online. We're honored that you're watching wherever you're watching from. And my wife and I love to be a part of this church. We get to do this. And as you've already heard, if you're new today, we would love the chance to connect with you and serve you. And man, I want to give a big shout out to the Indiana Hoosiers. Come on, 7-2 in the football year. And a lot of the coaches go to our church, a lot of the players. And so we love them. We bless them. We know that God loves the Hoosiers. I don't know about Purdue, but God loves the Hoosiers now. Come on. That's not true. I don't know, but I believe. But I want to just highlight something real quick. If you don't mind, grab your phones on this because I would like your help. You know, in our heart to give back at City, we want to be a church that gives back and shares. And one way that we've done this, I just want to take just a few moments to highlight this again. We've partnered with a company, a Christian company called Causely. What they do is they leverage social media check-ins to give to different humanitarian efforts on a monthly basis. And we've been doing this with our Facebook check-ins. So I want to highlight this. This is not a scheme. This is legit. And we do this every check-in we get, we give money away and we leverage that to do good. And so last month in October, we were partnering with Compassion, an international ministry for children. And through all the check-ins all last month, we gave enough money for the next 154 days of care for meals and health assessments for kids in need. Come on, somebody. Isn't that awesome? Thank you. Thank you so much. And so if you don't mind, get your phone out and go ahead and check in the City Church on Facebook, because this month in November, we're partnering with One. It's called One by the Convoy of Hope, which provides nutritious meals for children in need in over 14 countries. So thank you for doing that in our efforts just to have just a little bit of another way of giving back and blessing someone around the world. Amen. So Father, I thank you so much for this great day. I thank you for this great worship, this great atmosphere of faith. Your presence is here, and I believe it's touching those watching online. Please keep us safe in this room and as we leave today. Watch over us. Thank you, Lord, that we have the moment now to receive from you. I pray that all of us would lay down any resistance. We would set aside any distraction. We would receive freely from you. Our hearts are yours. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I'm excited about this new series that we're doing in November entitled Outside My Window. You know, I think it's important that all of us see the importance from God that he puts on his heart for us, but then also his heart for other people. Both of these ideas are intertwined. I believe personally, the way we treat people is a revelation or indication of our connection with God. And I think it's important that all of us in this room and online remember that we have great value and that we are important to God and that he wants to do something in our lives to make a difference, which is why it's incumbent upon us that we take the time and look outside our window. Today, I want to preach a message entitled The Good Neighbor. If you don't mind, follow me and say the good neighbor. Now this message is, again, a culture, a message, in other words, of our church, how we see Jesus, how we see church, how we see what this should be. And I want to read from Luke chapter 10 today, verses 29 through 33. Then I want to jump down to verse 36 and 37 for time. But I want to set this up because I believe in this story we see four characters. Four. I believe all of us in this room and online will see ourselves, or at least will see tendencies that we have in at least one of these characters. And I want to give hope today that God knows us and he has something for us. Amen. Now, in this story, Jesus has just sent out 70 disciples, and they all preached and did great things for God. They came back, and they were excited. And Jesus said to value that your names are written in the book of life. So Jesus is happy. In the midst of this event, the Bible says that a religious expert, That's very important. The religious expert comes up to Jesus and engages in a conversation, and he says, how do you have eternal life? And Jesus asks him back, what does Moses say? And then this man quotes a verse accurately. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. Jesus said, you've answered right. Now go do good to your neighbor. And now notice this. In verse 29, here's where we pick up in the story. Notice this first statement. This is never good. The man wanted to justify his actions. How many know he's already in trouble? So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant, other versions say Levite, walked over and looked at him lying there. But he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Now, verse 36. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. The good neighbor. Jesus is obviously, in a smooth way, correcting this guy for an issue that he has. He knows in his heart that he has to love God, or he should rather love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Where he struggles is loving his neighbor, which is why he wants to justify his actions. So Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor, with a story. And I want to break this story down in this message, and I want to make it in a way that's relevant to how it would translate today in our culture, so that all of us can take something and appropriate it to our personal lives. Because I believe out of these four characters, all of us will see ourselves, or at least tendencies of ourselves, in, I would say, one character at least. So we start off this story. Jesus says there's a Jewish man who's leaving Jerusalem, going down to a different city called Jericho. And on the way, he's attacked. He's stripped of his clothes. He's robbed. He's left half dead on the side of the road. This is the first character of the story. I think today in this room and online, there's no question by the amount of people here and watching that some of us feel like this man. We feel like we've been beat up maybe by relationships in our family, maybe by friends, by society. Maybe we have been beat up with a physical condition, with an addiction. Maybe we've been beat up by loss, physical loss, or a divorce, or a broken up home. Who knows how we've been beat up, but I think there's several people and more that feel like you're lying on the side of the road and that you've been beat up and that maybe people are ignoring you and just passing you by. But I have good news today. I believe in a God in heaven that knows every person by name. And I believe that when anyone calls on him, he does not ignore them, but he sees them and he knows exactly what they're facing. So there is hope today if you find yourself in the first character as someone that's beat up, as someone that is wounded, as someone that is reaching for help, as someone here even in this moment or watching that you're saying, man, if there's a God, help me right now. I'm here to tell you that God hears your prayers. He knows your heart. He knows your wounds. And he's coming to your aid. He's coming to your side. And he has the power to pick you up and turn all things around and make all things new. How many believe that today in this place? I believe it. I believe there's no addiction too great. There's no sin too great. There's no issue too great for God. He knows exactly where you're at today if you find yourself in the first character. And there's someone here today that I know you find yourself in that place. And you're welcomed here. You're loved here. You're accepted here. You have a place here. Welcome home. God has something for you. Welcome to the family. We're all misfits at some level and messed up. That's why we love Jesus. Because his grace is sufficient for our junk. Can someone say amen? Amen. But But the story doesn't stop there. That's the first character. The second character, the Bible says, Jesus calls him a priest. This man is walking on the side of the road, and he looks across, and he sees the gentleman beat up, left for half dead. He looks at him. We don't know if he paused, but the Bible says he looks at him, then he keeps on passing by and doesn't stop to help. This is important because priests in the Bible, in Jesus' day and in the Old Testament, please hear this because I want to just make this relevant for us. They memorized the first five books of the Jewish Bible. Those books for our Bible are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They had them memorized. They knew everything that the Bible said. Their version of the Bible said at that time. They knew all the prophecies of Jesus. And yet their tendency was to major on the minors. In fact, Jesus rebuked them in Matthew chapter 23. He said, "You put burdens on people so heavy they can't even carry them, and you don't even carry the burdens yourselves." In other words, they knew what the Bible said, but they didn't know the Spirit of God. They made points about God, but missed hearts. They knew what the Bible said about the coming Messiah, but when the Messiah came, they didn't see him and they missed their visitation. They kept God in their head. Now, please hear me, but they didn't let God get in their heart. If you read the accounts over and over again, they would belittle people who were dirty physically or spiritually. They would judge people by what they ate and even the dishes they ate from. And they would flee from who they would deem unclean or dirty. And they were soured because of being a strict a person that was legalistic. Now, for us today, this translates to you and I. Maybe some of us see ourselves as the first character and we're lying on the side of the road. For other people, we can see tendencies in ourselves that maybe, and there's nothing wrong with being a rule follower. You know, we need more rule followers. Come on, in school. Not so much. Okay. But you can be a rule follower to the point that you become legalistic. In other words, just like these people in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, this tendency still exists today, where you and I have the propensity to major on minors and miss the main thing, which is Jesus. We can be strict with our preference and insist that it is our way in terms of maybe God or our life or who we help or who we don't help. We can make doctrinal points from a Christian perspective and totally miss the hearts of people around us. We can insist that everyone does it our way, and that if church isn't our way or how we think it should be, then we don't want to be a part of it and we dismiss it as wrong. We can look at people and want to convert them to our group, to our, you know, influence or to our sphere, when in truth, if we all become more like Jesus, we'll be better off versus becoming like each other. It's almost like today in the culture that we have, it would almost be if we were a priest today and we walked down the road and we looked over and we saw the man lying half dead. Here's how this would look. Possibly we'd walk over, and we don't do this outwardly. We would never do this, I don't think, but maybe our actions or our heart mirrors this. You know, if you wouldn't have had a baby out of wedlock, you wouldn't be in that position. If you would work hard like I work hard, then maybe you would have what I have. If you wouldn't be a drug addict, you wouldn't be on the side of the road. Why don't you step up and change? If you would have my faith, you would get out of that trouble and you could walk on water like you can. There's some examples. How about even more interestingly, right now with our culture in America, we could walk over and we could say, how do you vote? Because if you don't vote the way I do, I'm not going to help you. Because if you like President Trump, I don't like you. And if you don't like President Trump, I don't like you. So let me gauge. I know you're dying here on the side of the road, but just I want to ask you just this question. Who do you vote for? Oh, okay. Walk on the side. Your political views. Maybe walk over and ask them about how they act in private or or what did they do, or what group are they from a church perspective. If you're a Christ follower, if you're not, receive Jesus today. But if you are, maybe this would be some of those tendencies too. Are you a Baptist or Catholic? I just want to know before I help you. Because if you're not like my group, then you're not right. So let me make sure I can really make you right and believe like I believe. What do you believe? Do you believe in tongues or not tongues? What are you prosperity gospel or are you poor gospel? This would be the attitude of the priest. Laying burdens on people, making judgments on people based on whatever, instead of just being who God's called us to be to them. You and I must resist the temptation of being like the priest, that we're so worked up about the nuances of things, we miss the people right in front of us. For example, even city kids this weekend, we've allowed them to be in costumes. Some people don't like that. They get mad at us about Halloween. They get mad at us about Easter. They don't celebrate Christmas because of the pagan things behind all of it. You know what? I don't think Jesus is afraid of Halloween. And he's not afraid of Christmas. It's his birthday. And he's not afraid of Easter either. The bunny or the rabbit or whatever, the deer or the fox in the forest. He knows it all. And we don't need to be afraid of that. But it could be tendencies of being strict with beliefs and laying on people those beliefs instead of just helping them in their time of need. Where do you see yourself so far in the story? Do you see yourself as the person beat up on the side of the road? There's hope for you today. Or do you see yourself with the tendencies of being dogmatic and being, you know, rigid and strict and leaning to not having compassion for those people around us? God wants us to be soft-hearted. He wants us to be a good neighbor. Because who is our neighbor today? Is our neighbor the person next to us in the apartment complex? Is it the house next door to us in the neighborhood? Who is our neighbor? Yes, it is those people, but our neighbor is also the boss we don't like. Our neighbor is the coworker we can't stand. Our neighbor are the Democrats and the Republicans. Our neighbors are the people that do the exact opposite of what we would do ourselves. Our neighbors are the people that are rich and that are poor. Our neighbors, they smell good and some do not smell good. Some are educated and they're not educated. Have you noticed that when you and I move somewhere, you and I cannot dictate who lives by us? And you and I cannot choose the neighbors in our life because he's asking us to be the good neighbor to all the neighbors that he brings into us. Every nationality is our neighbor. All people are our neighbors. Thank you for some golf claps in the back. But this is the heart of God. It's the heart of our church. Maybe you see yourself as the third character. It's a Levite. This joker is even crazier. The Bible says he's walking down the street, looks over and sees the man. He walks over, looks at the man. Man, that must be tough. And then walks in, crosses it, and keeps on going. Now, what are the Levites? Just please stay with me. I want to make this relevant for us. What were the Levites? In the Old Testament, there were 12 main tribes of the Israeli people. One of them was the Levites, Levi, the tribe of Levi, or from Levi. They were given the great honor of carrying what the Old Testament called the Ark of the Covenant. Four men, when the camp would move from one location to the next, would have a pole rest on their shoulders, and four men would walk in unison carrying what represented to them the presence of God. It represented them having the chance to carry God, to be with God, to be close to God. It represented them having a connection to God. And what's amazing is they had the privilege of being touched by the presence of God, but this gentleman walked over and looked at him intently and then crosses back over and keeps moving. In other words, today, how that connects to you and I is that you and I could maybe have the presence of God, but not think of giving the presence of God away. That you and I can be touched by God, but not move for God. That you and I can become, as a Christ follower, now, as a Christ follower, become inward focused in church, again, similar to the priest. And the church has to be our way. It's our world. It's what we want. And if it's not in that framework, then it It's not right. And what happens is a tendency that we have, if we're carrying God but we're not sharing God, is that we become church critics, choir critics, judging preachers and teachers. And we need to judge what people are talking about, absolutely, but judging based on style or groups or the style of church. People get worked up about whatever they get worked up about having coffee in church, about having lights in church, about having short services, long services, shorts and shoes and suits and ties and sitting around talking about this. Imagine someone lying on the road and I'm here talking to someone else and this person's half dead and I'm sitting here talking about, man, did you see Joel Osteen? Man, do you think he's right? I'm not sure. Man, what do you think about Hillsong? I don't know. What about the new gospel sound? Travis Green, William McDowell. It ain't like it used to be. It ain't like Shirley Caesar. I'm not sure if that's right. Where happened to all the choir? What happened to Andre Trouch? You know, what happened to the long service? Remember we were church all day? Now it's only an hour long. Is this really right? And the whole time we're talking to each other and someone's lying in the road. I mean, is Joyce Meyer really right? I don't know. Oh God, Bishop T.D. Jakes, who's my cousin. Talking inward, but someone's lying in the road. Translate that for you and I, it could be so inward focused that if we were to go over and talk to them, and again, no one would do this outwardly. We would, you know, we have more tact than that. But maybe our actions would show this. We'd walk over to them and say, man, I just wonder, do you prefer Bethel music or Hillsong music? What do you like? Do you like old school or new school? Because I think this and that. And so we're talking church lingo, missing the reality of the people that are lying on the side of the road. I would argue and say we don't have time to judge in that way church stuff when people are lying in the road. And that God has asked you and I not to be a church critic, a choir critic, and judging churches and judging this and maybe judging me right now and judging what your experience is right now. All of us have perceptions and all of us have a filter. That's fine. But God's called us to do something more than just make decisions about TV preachers or the churches we visit. He's called us to make a difference. And there's people lying on the side of the road, and he does not want us to have this mentality where I'm touched by God. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. Just give me. I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. I'm not a slacker. Just give me more, God. And then people are there, and we don't even think about sharing the God that we have with them in some way. So you can see yourself maybe as the person that's beat up. Maybe you see yourself as the tendency of the strict person that's obeying all the rules, and you put on people judgments because they don't line up with your world. Maybe you're like the Levite. You're in the church world, if you will, and you're so in this bubble of church that you're just seeing stuff through church a lens, and you're talking stuff that they don't understand. Who cares? When someone's lying in the road. God wants us to move now. But then we have the fourth character. Jesus does an amazing job of describing people. In this story, he doesn't give him any favors. He calls the fourth character, then comes a despised Samaritan. Thank you, Jesus. Now, please hear me on this part, because right now, this challenges American culture right now. The tenor of politics, morality, the tenor of all this. Check this out. Read Jewish history, please. Read the scriptures. The Jewish people had racist tendencies to Samaritan people. They thought they were half human. They didn't even think they were fully human, and they thought they had no right to be on the land that God had given to them thousands of years earlier. They wanted them out. And so I want you to think about this. Here's a man lying on the side of the road, beat and dying and overwhelmed. He suffered. We have a priest that's strict and putting burdens on him. Then we have a Levite that has the presence of God but doesn't ever share it and talking about nonsense that no one cares about because people are lying on the side of the road. And then we have a despised Samaritan who, as the Bible says in the story, goes over and begins to mend his wounds, pick him up, clothe him, take him to a hotel, and pay for the bill and helps him come back to life again or be nursed back to health. And I want you to think about this man who knows what Jewish people think about him. And yet he sees him and he's moved with compassion and he wants to help and he wants to do something. Notice he overcame what the beat up man thought of him to do what Jesus wanted from him. A lot of us get trapped with, I'm not going to help them if they don't love me. I'm not going to love them if they don't love me back. I'm not going to take my time if they're racist to me. If they vote Republican, they vote Democrat, they don't aid my agenda, they don't agree with me, I'm not going to help them. But wait a minute, that's American culture. Unfortunately, that's not the Bible. Jesus said we love others because he first loved us. So our challenge is to find ourselves like maybe the despised Samaritan, where maybe you and I feel despised. Maybe people have put us down because of our ethnicity, because of our gender, because of our economic status, because of our family tree, because of our education level. Who knows what they would have said or done, but you and I maybe find ourselves in this character that we have the chance to overcome what people think, and we have a chance to do something. And check this out. Even if the people that are lying on the side of the road despise us, use us, lie about us, revile us, Jesus has this radical concept that you and I would overcome the hurdles of race, overcome the hurdles of politics, and the hurdles of economics, and the hurdles of drugs, and the hurdles of sex, and the hurdles of all the junk that we have. You would hurdle it, and you would say, if God loved me, I can love them. If God touched me, I can touch them. If God brought me out of my ditch, I can help them in their ditch. If God rescued my life, I can help touch them. The great challenge of our soul for every Christ follower is to constantly keep themselves focused, not only about my world, but how can I model Jesus and be the good neighbor to all people? Because the only way things are going to get changed, newsflash, is not by passing legislation. The only way things will change is when the power of the Holy Spirit comes through Bible-believing people. And we love white people, black people, red people, yellow people, homeless people, rich people. And we don't despise them and we don't put them down, but we love them and build them up in the way of God. I got news for you. God's house is greater than the White House, than a crack house, than a whorehouse, because God comes to your house. And when you and I lift up Jesus, it causes everything to come into alignment. It causes everything to come into view. I'm not judging people just by what I feel. I'm judging them by the grace of God. I'm almost done. So when you and I have to guard ourselves, I have to guard myself. What character do you find yourself in this moment? If you don't know Jesus today, in this room and online, this is not a cult. He's not a white man's Jesus. He's not some weird thing to get us through life. He is bigger than race. He is bigger than issues. He is bigger than struggle. He's the God of heaven who died on a rugged cross and was raised on the third day for the sins of all people. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus loves Democrats. Jesus loves Republicans. Jesus loves people in Iran. He loves Americans. He loves Mexicans. He loves Canadians. He loves even Patriot fans. God loves everybody. Like how I threw it in there? Amen. So our job is the challenge in closing is to, if we see ourselves, if we find ourselves beat up today, you're welcomed here. The reason why this message is so important to me is because God had to change my heart and correct my dogmas to be in alignment with his heart. We are a hospital at City Church. Everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything's possible. We love people by having worship experiences that everyone is welcome to and feels a part of, whether you're at step zero or step 1,000 or whatever it is in your journey of faith, you're welcomed here. You're accepted. We can't accept each other and not agree with each other. If you don't believe me, have kids. We build families through groups. Groups for all people. All types of groups. We lead to destiny by serving on the dream team, being a part of something bigger than ourselves, making a difference in the life of someone else, giving people a chance to be raised up as a leader and do something in their life beyond just what's for them. Love, build, lead. I don't apologize for this. Because I believe in this story. I believe in the scripture. I believe in this Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was sitting with the most disreputable sinners. He wasn't with the pious church people. He was with the disreputable sinner. I never forget in closing a story, and this is why we do at the movies. We have Coke and popcorn. Amen. To reach people. To do it up a little different every once in a while. It's about reaching out, doing something for God. Someone came last year and got mad and left. I didn't know it was movie day. I said, sure enough is. All month long. Popcorn, Sprite, Pepsi, Diet Mountain Dew, maybe. And you can come and receive because it's not movie day. How shameful. It's the gospel of Christ being portrayed in a way that can connect to all people. It's the love of God ministering to the hearts of men and women. I want to illustrate this story, and then I'm going to gather away. There, I never forgot this story from a pastor. Two blocks from his church stood a high-rise apartment building. And he communicated the story about a female, a young lady who was unfortunately the victim of a domestic violent act who lived on the third floor. He knew this because of the police investigation of what happened. She was fatally injured in that altercation in the middle of the night. As she got down from the third floor, they found her as they searched for her and police and all that came. They finally found her lying passed away at the front door of the church. And the police called the pastor and had him come in and say, hey, who is this? Why would she be at your church? Here's what happened. She passed away. Do you know her? And almost interrogating him, like, what in the world's going on? Why is she here? He didn't know. He had no idea who she was. And I'll never forget, in the story, he said, I didn't understand why this happened. But he said, I think after a while of processing it, he said he felt like the Lord showed him something. He felt like the Lord showed him that people all every day were coming to church wounded. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, maritally, financially, whatever, maybe physically. Most of the time not, but maybe even that, crawling to church to have hope. He realized it was a picture for him of a lady that lost her life through domestic violence, of the idea of broken people reaching out for a hopeful Savior. And I never forgot that story because I want people to be able to come to this church that are crawling in different areas of their life, but they're welcomed home. That they can be a part of what God is doing. That they have hope when they have no hope. This is the heartbeat of Jesus. This is what motivates me when you see people lying on the road physically or maybe in other ways, but you see them. This is the heart of Christ reaching for out. This is the heart of Jesus reaching for people. This is the heart of Jesus wanting us to be who he's called us to be. This is what God wants us to do. What character do you find yourself in today? Do you find yourself beat up on the side of the road? There's hope for you today. You're welcomed here. There's no corner. There's no secret that God's embarrassed of. You're welcome. Maybe you find yourself like the priest, strict and judging people and have a tendency to judge people. And if they're not like you, if they don't think like you, they don't look like you, if you know, whatever else, you tend to, I don't know. Maybe you're like the Levite, you're in a church bubble, just talking just circles about church stuff that has nothing to do with the people that God has called us to reach. And maybe you find yourself despised by life, despised by people, put down, belittled because of whatever reason. And you know that God sees you as the perfect candidate to do something for Him, that He will raise you up and do something that only He can do through your life. How many believe in this Jesus today? This is the Jesus that He's called us to have. And this is the Jesus that He's called us to share. Please stand to your feet if you don't mind. In this moment, you online, respond to God. So I ask you today to join me and to be the good neighbor. Be the good neighbor. When God was correcting me and my attitude and my heart, I'll never forget it. There were certain moments in my life that just I've never forgotten in my walk with God. And this one day was one of those moments. And I was praying and in the morning and God was correcting me in attitudes. And I began to cry because I felt, I don't know how, I heard it, I felt it, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like God showing me there's people that don't even believe in me. This is what I heard Him say. There's people that don't even believe in me. They curse me. They curse, you know, maybe Christians or whatever. But in the privacy of the home, of their home, they say, God, if You're real, help me. God, if You're real, help me. And man, I cried because I knew my heart was so wrong in that moment. And I felt His heart for people. And I would ask you today, if you're one of those people, and you're in this room, you're watching, you're saying, God, if You're real, help me. He's real, and He's going to help you right now. And then I would ask those of us that maybe we're not in that place, that you and I would open our heart to feel the heartbeat of God, that we would choose to be a good neighbor when we feel it and when we don't feel it. Because what I felt convicted about that day years ago was God was saying, I'm waiting on you, son, to go across the street and show those people lying in the road, spiritually, physically, whatnot, who I am. So I don't know if they're the one in the home saying, God, if You're real, help me. But if they are, when I show them something, they know, they can know, they can see it, a glimmer of it, that this Jesus is real. And He is what we need. Please bow your head to heaven. Please bow your heart to heaven. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never even prayed to Jesus. Others of you would say, man, I have prayed to Jesus. I've received Christ, but in this moment, I'm far from God. I feel it, I know it, and I need Jesus today. I want to come back to God. If you find yourself in one of those two places and you know that's you right now, please raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you to receive Christ. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. I see people coming to Christ all over the building. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Please lower those hands. And you would say, you know, Pastor Dave, I find myself in this story. I see myself as the person wounded. I see myself on the side of the road. And I'm reaching for a God of hope. Others would say, man, I see myself as the strict priest. I see myself as the Christian bubble, having the presence of God, but struggling to give Him away. Or I see myself as the despised person put down by others, and I want to be used of God. If that's you today and you can connect to one of those characters or more and you want support, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room and all over online. Thank you. Hands up all over. Thank you. Thank you. Follow me and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is Yours, and I run to You. Please forgive me for any sin in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to You. My heart is Yours. I give You completely me. All I am is Yours. And through Your Holy Spirit, help me be the good neighbor. Help me walk with You. I'm Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Jesus one more hand clap of praise. I love this Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love this Jesus. He's the one that touches the soul. Prayer team, join me in the front. In this moment, please stay just locked in for the next 3 to 4 minutes. We're going to have a time of worship. Worship with the band. If you receive Christ today, then please come down and let us help you take your next step. If you have a prayer request about anything, please come down and receive prayer. We believe great things happen when we pray together. If you want to sit in your seat and worship, that's fine. If you want to take communion, it's along the outside walls. Feel free, please. But in this moment, stay locked in. The band will lead us, and then the band will dismiss us, and we'll have a great time in the lobby. May the Lord bless you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He be good to you. And for this message, may all of us choose to be the good neighbor.